Would you open the precious Word of God tonight to the book of Romans? And I just want to be a help. If you were here Sunday, preached on vision, 2020 vision. That's that's easy, wasn't it? 2020, 2020 vision. And I hope and pray that God will give us vision this year. It's very vital. And with that being said, the subject that I want to preach tonight in chapter 10, really just look at the first four verses. We've been preaching through the book of Romans, and I just really felt like tonight that we would start the first Wednesday out on chapter 10 and this verse. And kind of go a little bit along with what we was preaching on Sunday, a little bit. And let's look at this, Romans chapter 10, verse 1. The Bible says this, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish." I want you to notice these next two words. "Their own righteousness. Have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." Heavenly Father, we ask you tonight to do what only you can do. Speak to our hearts and help us. We need your help. Lord, as we look at this year ahead of us, and Lord, we realize that we understand that every answer to life is found in you. And so I pray that you'll help us to just be tender tonight to your word. We'll allow your word to speak to our heart. And Lord, we'll not just hear the word, but Lord, we'll apply this to our life. And if you speak to us, I pray you'll help us to be obedient to you. It doesn't do us a bit of good to hear it if we don't do it. And we don't allow it to affect us. And so I pray your work will be done. May the Holy Spirit of God speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul, just like us, surrounded by those that were lost. Now, he made a statement here. He said they were zealous. So I'm not, and I think that's very comparable even to today. I know there's a lot of people that are zealous, but we know by the truth of God's word that the Apostle Paul was dealing with a group of people that were zealous, but they were lost. And so I just simply entitled out of verse 1, chapter 10, verse 1, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel that they might be saved." Now, I would like for you quickly, if you would just go back to chapter 9 and the beginning of that chapter, I want you to notice verse 3. So this is the same man speaking here, and his burden, his desire is the same, and we read it in a little different way, but this is even more powerful, but it's the same lines. The Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, "For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh." So his burden was clear. How many of you agree with me just reading those two verses? "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." And then if you go back to chapter 9, verse 3, he says, "I'd soon be cursed. I'd rather be cursed myself if my brethren would be saved." So you tell me, is it not clear that his burden is clear? These are found in the timeless truths of God's Word. And so I just simply want to preach tonight at how convicting this is just one word, burdened. Burdened. And the question as I was reading this passage and also going back to chapter 9, verse 3, I will say to you convictingly as I was reading that, how convicting it was to me. Because here's the question that continued to run through my mind, and the Holy Spirit was asking me, "Are you, Mark Brandon, burdened?" For the lost people around you. He was surrounded by those who were zealous in religion and tradition, but they had never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. And by the way, all of us sitting in this building tonight, if you was to go over there and ask every child, and if you was to go over there and ask every worker tonight, we all know people that we know and love that are lost and they do not know Christ. But I'll go a step further and I would say that not only do we know people that are lost, but we also know people that we truly love and are concerned about, and we know that they're not in right fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I have a question for all of us tonight is, how do we handle that? How do we deal with that? How do we brush that off of our minds and it not be a burden like it was to the Apostle Paul? He said in this passage, brethren, my heart's desire. He mentioned no other desire. He mentioned my heart's desire and prayer. He mentioned no other emphasis in this prayer. The only emphasis in this desire, in this burden, in this prayer, was for people that didn't know Jesus to get to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. What a burden. Quite a noble thing to be burdened over. And it kind of puts laughter and puts me to shame and should put you to shame to think about all the things that we're burdened over that really does not amount to this. God help us. Burdened. So I say to you tonight, clearly Paul possessed this deep, genuine burden for his people, because I've never said, well, I'd die and go to hell for them. That's what he said. Chapter 9, verse 3, he basically said, I will be cursed if someone else would be saved. That's the kind of desire and genuineness that he had for his people. So I ask tonight, what about us? What about us and the great need in our land today of people we know and love, people we don't even know? We wonder what all the problems going on in the world and what's going on in our country, what's going on in our homes, why is things happening like they are? God's already told us what it is. He said that when sin is conceived, it brings life. It brings happy life. I want to say to all these young people here tonight, and this is what amazes me, you know, there's just so many people. They're trying. I'm not saying they're not trying to live a life, but listen, you're not going to live life apart from God and it be successful. And I know what a lot of young people are thinking. They're thinking, well, you know, I'm going to have to find that out for myself. Well, take the word of some folks that you know and love and just take their word for it. And take the Bible as far as that is concerned. Listen, God brings life more abundantly. But I say all of that, the great need. And here's the question, where is our burden tonight? Can I give you, and and by the way, we're in a day of data, and you can find out things with a click of a button. And I just did some research the last couple of days, and I've pulled these things out. I found some very 2019 statistics, but most of these go back to 2013, and they're about the closest I could find to today. But this was staggering to me. In America, 37%. In 2013, the research center reported that 37% of all Americans attended church on a weekly basis. 37%. You say, well, Pastor, how many people are in America? 330 million people. And we're told in 2013, and I can promise you, it's lower than that today, 37%. 2016, according to the Pew Research, Christianity loses more people than it gains from religious conversion. It found that 23% of Americans raised as Christians no longer identify as Christians. That breaks my heart. The Pew Religious Landscape Survey reported that as of 2014, 22.8% of the U.S. population is religiously unaffiliated. Atheists made up 3.1% and agnostics made up 4% of the U.S. population. The 2014 General Social Survey reported that 21% of Americans had no religion, with 3% being atheist and 5% being agnostic. And then I just pulled up Barna and looked at some statistics, and the one that I found that I thought was interesting in America today, April 2016, I just looked at churched and unchurched Americans, and this being churched now means that you went to church within 6 months. You hear me? This doesn't mean that you're regularly going on a weekly basis. This is a poll taken that someone said they'd been to church in 6 months. And here's what it said. 55% of the population said they had been to church. 45% of American population is unchurched. That's almost half. And then we sit around in our homes at night and we wonder why things are happening the way they're happening. We have a great need in this day. And Brother Larry, I read your prayer letter this morning. Revival. Revival. And I believe that I've never known of any revival as I've read and studied, that any revival has ever taken place until there have been the people of God. And by the way, it's not always been a large group. Have gotten truly, here's the word, church, burdened. So we see something in this passage tonight. We find this need is vast and this need is urgent. What? How do we know that? Because this was an urgent prayer. I want you to notice in verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God. I want you to notice something about this prayer. It was sincere. Sincere. I really struggled with that being the theme. We've got the banners. We'll have all that up on Sunday. I was really struggling with the theme this year of with godly sincerity and simplicity. I was really praying about that, working on it, but I like the theme that we've come up with. But I thought about that sincerity goes a long ways. And how do we know that the Apostle Paul in his prayer was sincere? Because he said in verse 3 of chapter 9 that he was willing to be accursed. That's not just talk. And I'll be honest, I'm 45. I've been saved for a long time. But I've never heard any Christian in a church, not a pastor, not an evangelist, no preacher ever, I've ever heard them say that they would wish to be cursed if America got saved. I've never heard anyone say that. Have you? So here's a man, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, said, I would rather be a curse if my brethren would be saved. That's quite an urgent prayer, quite sincere, not half-hearted, not something he thought on of an occasion. He was genuinely burdened. And so I ask this question to y'all tonight. If we're Christians and we're really burdened about something, then when should we turn that on and when should we turn that off? And that's where I struggle. Because I've learned not everybody wants to hear about the spiritual things all the time. But if this is the only prayer that he had, I ask you as Christians, do we only deal with spiritual things on Sunday and when we're sitting in the church pews? When is off limits to talk about the burden of loved ones? When is off limits? When can we just turn that off and say, we're not going to talk about that burden anymore? If we're truly burdened, I mean, if you're a teacher, if you God's called you to be a teacher, I'm going to be honest with you, you're not just being paid to teach. If someone's truly been given the call of God to be a teacher, he's not going to just do that when the paycheck comes. He's going to do that with his children. He's going to do that with the kids that come to church. He's going to do it with people he works with. He's going to do it. Why? Because it's a genuine burden. So when should a mom ever cut it off? When should a dad ever cut it off? Are you truly, genuinely burdened for your family? Well, then you can't turn it on and turn it off if it's sincere. So, well, we got you limited, Pastor. Well, how do you limit it? There's people around you that you know is living, but they're not living, and they're dying, and they're not living for the Lord. So are we just supposed to, oh, Oh, I'm not supposed to talk about that today. I'm not supposed to pray about that today. I'm not supposed to be burdening my heart today. I'm not supposed to feel that today. We certainly don't get that from this passage. He was sincere. It wasn't something he turned on and turned off. He had a hard time turning it off. Because it was a burden. You know why it was a burden? Because he realized how important it was. And by the way, I believe he was sincere because he knew where they were. He was zealous at one time. But he was zealously, listen to me now, he was zealously wrong. Thank God for the day on the road. Jesus caught up to him. And I'm going to be honest with you, when the Apostle Paul looked at these people and said, look, I want you to know I'm burdened. I want you to know my heart's desire is for you to be saved, because he knew the road they were walking. Can I say, I said this Sunday, why do I like being in the teen class? I don't have to be in there, but we choose to be in there. And one of the reasons being is I remember being a teenager. And I know people misunderstand this, but I say to them all the time, I've been where you've been. I've tried what you've tried. I understand where you are. But some of the young people, they don't understand where we are. But boy, we hope they get there one day. But they have to take their path. But I hope and pray there's some young people around here that have some wisdom that will listen and let God speak to their heart. Realize, look, I don't have to make 50,000 mistakes. I can be a young person that's humble and submissive to the will of God and let Him speak to my heart, and also follow people that I know love me and that are trying to help me. God puts all those things into your life to help these young people to be guided and trained and taught. But I say, it was sincere. It was urgent. It wasn't just a Sunday thing. It wasn't just, all right, now I'm going to put my religious clothes on today. I'm going to put my burden clothes on today. Why? I'm saved to do it here because it's in church. We're supposed to cry and pray at church. Apostle Paul said, no, I'm sincere. He said, my prayer is, I wish to the Lord that I have one urgent prayer request, and it's that these folks that are lost to be saved, to know Jesus like I know Him. He was sincere about it. He knew where they were. He had been there himself. So it made him even more passionate. So it was urgent. It was an urgent prayer because it was sincere. But also, I love this. It was substantial. I thought of it. He wasn't seeking a small thing. This is an urgent prayer because, you know, I'm going to be honest. I mean, no prayer is not important. But, you know, I prayed a lot of prayers when I was a child that really I wasn't asking for much substantial. You know, like, you know, Lord, can you give me a Ferrari when I turn 21? I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, that's not really substantial. But listen to me now. Listen to me. And Brother Larry, I'm going to be honest with you. This is where your prayer letter convicted me. And I'm going to just say this. But what we are praying for, when we're praying for people to know the Lord Jesus and for them to be in the right relationship with the Lord Jesus, listen to me, that's the most substantial thing you could ever pray for anybody. Well, I was so convicted, and I appreciate it. I'm trusting the Lord. Brother Clay came to me yesterday, and I mean, he was convicted. He came up to me. He says, Dad, he said, God's been working on my heart. And he said, Dad, you know, I heard a message the other day on prayer. And he said, I'm just going to be honest with you, I'm convicted. And he says, Dad, he said, can me and you every day, can we make a time and that we just have a prayer time together as the staff of this church? I'm going to be honest with you, I was so convicted, Brother Larry. But I was so encouraged. So I said, we'll start at 9 o'clock. We'll do it. As soon as we get here, he gets here a little later than I do. I'm usually here at 6:30 every morning. And I said, boy, I was encouraged. And so I said, no, wait a minute. We're not going to start tomorrow morning. Let's pray right now. And I want y'all to know I had the sweetest prayer meeting with my son, our son, yesterday in my office. And I'm going to tell you what I'm trusting. I'm trusting the Lord to do big things and great things because we're going to ask God to do something special. Why? Because we're asking for something substantial. We're not asking for this church to grow just because someone can say, ooh, look down there at Tiftonia Baptist Church. They're running 300 people. I don't care about that. More substantial than that, there's some people here in this church that we know and love, and there's people in this church that you know and love, and there's people right here in this area that we know and love that's not where they should be. Let's start asking a big God for substantial things. And trust a big God to do big things, because, by the way, He is able. This prayer was urgent because it was sincere. It was substantial. Hey, I want you to know something else. It was specific. Now, I want to just probably close with this thought tonight. I want you to read the prayer with me. Verse 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. It was singular in purpose. Now, I'm sure, just as today, I'm sure there were physical problems he was dealing with. I'm sure there were people that he knew and loved that was dealing with sickness. I'm sure that there were social issues going on in his day, just like there are here. I'm sure that there was economic problems, no doubt. There's people that had financial problems. He probably, well, the Bible says that he had to learn to be content. He knew how to be abased. He knew how to be abounded. So he realized the ups and downs of money flow and needs and wants and all of that. But he didn't ask for any of that in this prayer. He was specific. They weren't the focus of this prayer. What was the focus of this prayer? God really helped me as I was studying this. Because I've been struggling here. I've been really wanting to bring something across. Probably we'll hear more about it throughout the year. But here's what he dealt with. He dealt with the root. He prayed specifically for the root. I've learned this just living and pastoring, being a dad, just being alive. I've learned that most Americans, all we're doing is we're fruit pickers. We're always dealing with the fruit of stuff, and it just keeps growing because, look at me now, we don't get specific and deal with the problem. He went straight to the problem. Why did they have social problems? Because there was people that was lost. Why was their marriages breaking up? Because there was people, their hearts was not right with God. There was people that didn't know how to love because they didn't have the Lord. They didn't know how to love. They didn't know how to live. So he didn't deal with all the social problems. He wasn't praying for this. He went straight to the nitty-gritty, straight to the root of the problem. He says, no, our area, our land, our people are in trouble because they have heart problems. They need Jesus. You show me a man and a woman or a boy or a child or a teenager or a young person today that you want to make every excuse of why they're not living a certain way. And by the way, you can become a psychologist if you want to. You can say it's because he wasn't raised this way, because he didn't know this. He never had this. He never did this. Listen to me. The moment he gets saved, he gets all that in Jesus. Jesus gives me worth. Jesus gives you worth. Listen to me, I don't care if you were beat 10, 2, and 4 every day. Listen to me, Jesus loves you. And when you meet Him and you know Him as your Savior, He's your worth and He makes you special. People are always looking to be loved and they're wanting to be loved by people. By the way, they should be loved by people. But do you know there are times people aren't going to be loved by other people, but they can always look up because there's a God in heaven that truly loves them. There's joy there. There's peace there. There's victory there if we just stay in His love. But you got to know Him. So he didn't deal with all the social problems. He was specific. But here's what he said. God, they got heart problems. They don't know you. And by the way, can I ask all of our church, can we quit dealing with fruit stuff? Can I help every family here just a second? Y'all really want help? Then quit dealing with the fruit. Now you're going to have to ask God to give you eyes, because it's not normal to get down to the nitty gritty. It's easier to sit around and deal with the fruit and keep picking it. But I've learned if you don't get the root of the thorn bush, the thorns are going to continue to grow. Can somebody say amen? That's just scientifically correct. It's the same in our Christian life. I deal with so many people. All they want to talk about is the fruit. They want to cover up. They want to make sure it looks okay in front of everybody. But we never deal with the problem, what's there. Paul did away with all of that in his prayer. He says, God, the problem is the heart, and if they'll come to know you, all of these other problems can and will change. What's wrong with America today? Well, you can say all you want to. You say, well, but it's all rooted in this. People are trying to live without God. That's it. They did what these folks did. The Bible says they were trying to establish their what? Own. Their own. Their own. Their own. I told a young lady tonight, I'm always wrong. He's always right. Brother Chris, you're always, I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how much you think you got it figured out. I don't think you even care how long you fought that way and lived that way. The moment you read it in the Bible and God says that's not the way it is, you say, God, you're right. I'm wrong. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what culture says. Doesn't matter what you feel. Doesn't matter what you think. Doesn't matter what I think. Whatever he says is always right. I'm always wrong. Now, why are we praying for our sons and daughters tonight? The media is not going to tell you this. Why? Why are we dealing with a wild man in the Middle East? You tell me. Nobody wants to go there. Nobody wants to talk about it. We're now, what, thousand years down the road? Why are we here? Why was there some moms and dads last night having a hard time going to bed? Why was there folks that was worried about their son because they've been bombed and missiled in a place? Why are we even over there? Y'all know the Bible lesson. There was two people God had made a promise to. God told Abraham he was going to have the seed and he was going to have siblings. He was going to have a lineage of people in a historic group. Listen to me. He was going to have children as it would number the sand. Just like you and I do, we got to wonder, well, did God, yeah, I tell you, I think God's messed up here. He's told us he's bit off more than he can chew, and I just don't think it's going to work. And I'll tell you right now, and that woman got to worry. She said, oh, I'm getting old. Let's, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to do it what? Our way. I got a plan. It's a good plan. And what man's going to say no? Hey, I got a handmaid here. Won't you go into her? Well, he should have been godly enough to say, uh-uh, she ain't my wife. But for a woman to look at a man and say, hey, what? He didn't say no. Did it his way. Guess what? You said, Pastor, why are we in the mess that we are tonight? Why have we been dealing with that wild man for all these years? God told us. We're dealing with a wild man over there that even a brother can't tame. They're against themselves. They're fighting against themselves. And what is it all rooted in? It's all rooted in, we're going to do it our way. And God's done told us, when sin is conceived. Because by the way, when he went into that handmaid and had that woman, listen to me, it was sin. Sin. And sin begets life. A good night's rest. A wonderful family. Happy feelings. Ask Kim and Mike last night. Ask the dear precious lady that was worried about her son last night. Why is all that happening? Listen to me now. Sin. It's getting hot in here, ain't it? What's the root of all of our problems? Sin. And us trying to live without God and doing it our way. Do you know anybody like that? I'm going to be honest with you. It ought to burden us. It ought to be sincere. It ought to be, that's all you want to talk about. That's all you want to pray about. Because we know that God is able to save and to change people's lives. He's the only hope they have. So I hope and pray that our church this year will get a burden just like the Apostle Paul. And that our urgent prayer will be that our brethren, people that we know, unsaved or all around us, that they might be saved. Don't y'all like that word? How many of y'all glad y'all got saved? How many of you know somebody that needs to be saved? How about you get burned about them? My urgent prayer, not the social problems, but all that they might be saved. Let's stand.